So Colin Dean is going to talk about NixOS and how how with $60 he can turn his laptop into a cellular router, which sounds like a cool topic. The stage is yours.
All right.
Have fun. Thank you very much.
Great. Hello. Thank you and welcome. We're going to talk about running NixOS on a really cheap laptop. My name is Colin Dean. I have been a programmer for about 27 years, paid to do it for about 20 years this year, and I really enjoy it. I come from Pittsburgh in the United States, a metropolitan area of about 2.5 million people in northern Appalachia, in an area of the U.S. we call the Rust Belt. So if my accent slips a little bit, sorry, we have our own accent. This is not my first FOSDEM talk. I first spoke at the 2021 FOSDEM that was online. I've been coming now for, I think this is my third year in person and my fifth FOSDEM overall. You can generally find me hanging out at the homebrew table. I've been a homebrew contributor for about 12 years, and I'm finishing my first term on our board of directors, if you will. So hello from a fellow packaging project, although I know Nix is much more than just packaging. Please do save your questions to the end. I'm going to be really pressed for time, and I want to try to get to everything. Also, I'm a Nix newbie. I'm just learning Nix, and there may be things in here that are a little bit strange to you because you maybe learned them a long time ago. Me and Linux go back a long time. I've used Linux in various forms since about 2001. Started with Trustix Secure Linux, long dead distro. Spent about a decade using primarily Ubuntu before switching mostly to macOS and Windows for work. Currently, I split my time between elementary and ChromeOS. You can see I'm using a Chromebook up here. But haven't had an unexplored interest in NixOS for quite a long time. Going back to about 2017 was the first time that I heard about them. About a year ago, I hastily picked up NixOS when I spotted a clear opportunity to treat this shiny new NixOS installation as an appliance of sorts. It was the use case that I was looking for. So this talk, this talk is about the system I threw together that was supposed to be very temporary and ended up lasting several months. I grabbed some unused hardware with a very specific advantage, LTE modem, to turn into a gateway for my new house. I'm a huge fan of addressing problems through describing them as a problem, a diagnosis, and a remedy. If you search for my name, Colin Dean, and problem, diagnosis, remedy, you'll find a bunch of stuff that I've written on the internet about it. So this talk, I'll be presenting in this style for the most part. So in February of 2024, about a year ago, just a couple of weeks after FOSDEM last year, I finalized the purchase of a house about a 10-minute drive from where I'd lived for about 12 years. I immediately started renovation on that house, built in 1968 with a very high-end furnace. The previous owners were a very wealthy CEO of a local dairy company and had put in, spared no expense, in 1987. And you can imagine what a 40-year-old furnace in the United States is working with, especially in a very cold area like Pittsburgh. It was still really good, though. Because it could heat the whole about 185 square meter house in about 40 minutes from 15 degrees Celsius to 20 degrees Celsius. I guess that's pretty good. I wanted to be able to control it remotely because I also didn't want to pay to heat two houses. And it would be a game changer for working there comfortably because it could get very cold. February in March in Pittsburgh is around 0 to negative 10, sometimes negative 20 Celsius, so it can get pretty chilly. I also wanted to know when packages were coming. We were going to have so much new stuff delivered to the house that we were renovating that I wanted to know when it arrived so that I could know if I could go immediately start working when something got here. The cheapest reasonable internet service that we could find was about $50 a month for a 300 megabit line. At that price, I also had another option that was a T-Mobile cellular service. But its 10 gigabyte data cap was too little for the expected usage of the one webcam that I was going to have running in there. T-Mobile's data cap wasn't going to be good. Verizon offered, one of our local fiber, or our only local fiber provider, offered a 300 megabit plan with no data cap, but I didn't need that much. I only needed about 32 kilobytes per second in order to have the webcam running 24/7, and I needed like a half a kilobyte per second for the thermostat, averaged over a month. I didn't have a mobile hotspot device available to me, and everything that I saw that I could get quickly was just kind of crap, you know, throwaway hardware. I did have some extra unused Raspberry Pis, but none of them had LTE modems. Then I remembered that I had three laptops that I had bought at the mecca of electronics in the U.S. these days called Micro Center. I bought these laptops for only $60 a piece, new, during the 2022 recession of the COVID pandemic in the United States. I remember that they had this strangely expensive feature, an LTE modem. Why would you put an LTE modem in such a cheap laptop, especially when that LTE modem was $25 on the used market, and these laptops were $60? How are they making any profit here? Well, it turns out they probably weren't, and that's why the company isn't in business anymore. These laptops were pretty low-end spec, and I'll talk a little bit more about their specs later. All I really needed was horsepower, storage, and compute. Raspberry Pis were kind of hard to find, come by, and I thought, hey, why don't I buy these and just use them for a cluster? You know, I'll build the Beowulf cluster I've always wanted. I forgot about it. It's another ambitious project, just put in a box someplace. After some searching, I found the laptops. With some more research, I found another wireless provider, Mint Mobile, could give me $15 a month for 10 gigabytes, which wasn't going to be enough, but if you read the fine print for once, you'd find that they just reduced your speed, and they reduced your speed to 120 kilobytes per second. I only needed 32. Okay, I'll take the free bandwidth. But NixOS was the thing that completed the idea. I wanted to treat this like an appliance, and NixOS's pledge of a single configuration file for a system was very attractive. So I decided to see what the Prestige would deliver. So turn into this. Can I actually define an entire router in one file? Having built a router distro for my college graduation project, I knew a thing or two about the components that I'd need. I'd need things like DHCP, DNS, some stuff to control the firewall, masquerading, forwarding, whatever. Didn't need to be fancy. This was a network for a webcam. You know, that was it. And assuredly somebody else had done this in NixOS. And eventually, it took me a while, but I did find somebody else had done something similar. Here's a somewhat picture of the actual beast in situ. Evolve 3 is the name of the company. Maestro is the name of the model. It's got a 29-centimeter screen, keyboard, the trackpad. The speakers are all a step above garbage. But for the elementary school students who were using these in schools in the U.S. during the pandemic, it was just enough for what they needed. And that's what mattered. Has two USB ports on the side, USB 2.0 over there and USB 3.0 over here. And those would be able to work around all those limitations. The Ethernet adapter would just plug into the switch. Great. And the USB Wi-Fi was used to connect to the internal network so I could actually get packages and whatnot. Everybody loves a good board shot. It's got an Intel Celeron quad-core at like 1.1 gigahertz, 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gig storage. I would come to learn while setting up that the Wi-Fi card in this is rather esoteric, and the drivers are not already in the kernel, not in the kernel. I gave about a 10-minute try to build a NICS package for those drivers, couldn't do it, moved on, got the USB driver and USB Wi-Fi adapter and plugged it in. I also love that it had a battery. I mean, how many people's routers have a battery in it, you know? That was going to be really useful. As we knew that we were going to be toggling the electricity in the house frequently, sometimes the whole house, maybe just a circuit, and this was going to move around based on what room we were working on. So I wanted to have the internet working even if we had the electricity off for a couple hours. It also saved me the money to buy a UPS. So these are the values that I decided. I wanted inexpensive hardware with two backup devices available. Great, done. Reproducible configuration. Something went wrong. I had the entire configuration on a flash drive. And then minimal maintenance. I didn't really need to update it. Yeah, okay, security could be a concern, but this is a network for a webcam. And then it's only going to live for 3 to 4 months. So any big security updates, I wasn't going to be that worried about. Most importantly, it had to be partner compatible. Had to reboot cleanly and work immediately on reboot. No human intervention necessary. No Linux administration, certainly no NICS administration. Just had to turn off and on again in order to be working again. And this did happen several times where we left the electricity off too long and the battery drained. And then as soon as it came back up, it came right back up and we had internet again. So I'll show you the NICS configuration, just because it's so short. This is the hardware configuration.NICS. When I installed NICSOS through the installer, I didn't have to touch anything. Worked great. It's very basic hardware, you know, off the shelf, nothing custom in here. Again, nothing special. Auto detect for the win. I did find that I needed to enable Network Manager to best play with the LTE modem while setting it up. The one thing I couldn't figure out how to do in NICS was to set the Network Manager cellular access point name. The only thing that I couldn't figure out how to do. I also wanted a desktop environment because I was going to be setting this up on the machine itself. So I wanted to be able to use Firefox and the text editor on this 29-centimeter screen. As an odd constraint in working in the system that you're going to be using. User wasn't interesting. Basic stuff. These are the packages that I found that I needed along the way, especially ETHTOOL and ContractTools, just to see what was going over the network. I wanted to see what the webcam was actually doing, see if it was actually sending 32 kilobytes per second reliably, or if it was bursty. Now I don't remember. I wanted SSH just in case I needed to manage it remotely. There's nothing on this network of import to anybody, so I wanted to upgrade it manually. Basic router configuration, and then some serious stuff. Setting static IP address on the wireless or on the wired network adapter, and then setting the LTE modem to use DHCP. Tried some more complicated firewall rules, but ultimately just fell back to really basic stuff, and that worked a lot better than my 20-year-old memories of IP chains. And then lastly, let's give the LAN some DNS and DHCP with DNS mask. I tried a few different services for DHCP, eventually just fell back to using DNS mask. I wanted to use Kia, but couldn't. And then to complete it, this was all the firewall that I actually ended up needing. This is great. In practice, getting towards the end of things here, the LTE coverage ended up being enough. The new house is on a little bit of a hill. I can see the tower that I'm pretty sure is the tower that it's connecting to. And it was enough for a webcam and a doorbell, you know, really a doorbell camera and a webcam eventually, and the thermostat. Eventually we had some, I think I brought over like a Google Assistant so that I could hear the doorbell ring. It was a Nest doorbell. Throughput, it was enough. You know, the LTE connections in Pittsburgh are about 20 megabytes per second. It was certainly enough. I had some concerns about using LTE for home service, having had wired internet my entire life, but it was fine. And some takeaways, of course. I'm impressed by how little work I had to do to make this work. That was, as a noob to Nix, that was really cool. No. I called it svelte. I was explaining to my partner what made it so svelte. And because it was thin, it was 95 lines. Now, what I showed you there was a distillation of it, but it was really most of the configuration. It was 95 lines. For some reason, I also installed audio. I don't know why. Maybe because at some point I had to watch some YouTube videos or something. I remember some guardrails keeping me from completely messing up. If I had a misplaced semicolon, some basics that we appreciate now. It still took a lot of searching and experimentation to arrive at the final working configuration. Some of my reference material was out of date only by about a year, but a year is a long time in Nix. One of my biggest mistakes, mostly user error, underestimating how much bandwidth running a was it Nix env apply, the application command, I can't remember at the moment. And pulling down a whole lot of packages, you know, a couple gigabytes of package on a 10 gigabyte monthly plan kind of hurt. And I got burned by not enabling or not disabling automatic updates early on too. What I also found was that I wanted more documentation, especially like inline documentation. And I really wanted some kind of an editor for the Nix configuration that could give me the documentation and the available options for every possible thing that I could set. That would have made my life as a Nix noob a little bit easier. It took about 6 hours in total to build this, including reading documentation and examples. That's still really awesome. Having built that router distro myself from scratch, condensing approximately 3 months of work into 6 hours is really cool. About 3 hours of maintenance over 6 months. That's pretty cool. That ticks the box on the minimum administration. What's next? The old house, the one I just moved out of, is going to get this set up quite literally when I get back from Fosdem. And then the massive inspiration for this work is Matt Layer. Matt, if you're in this room or you're seeing this presentation, thank you. You are a god. That's it. Thanks, Jens.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions about this presentation?
Probably take one question.
So I guess it's just building on what you said about documentation. I found it difficult as well. So I guess this goes out to everyone. Is there like a nice way to get a list of available options in NixOS or NixDarwin? Especially with using
plates. Please repeat the question.
Yes, gentleman's asking if there are ways to generate a list of the options that are available.
Search
through the options to see if see what's available. I don't know the question. Yeah, that searching through the documentation is about it, and reading code. So. We do have
time for more questions. I have one question. The speaker for the next, the second, like not the next talk, but the talk after that, Ramsey, is this person here? All right, you're back. I can see you. Thank you very much. You already have some experience. We're going to have somebody talk to you anyways. Are there any further questions?
Thank you. Sorry?
What are you doing those 3 hours every
time? Mostly just running updates, like taking the machine to my other house, running updates just for the hell of it. And just making sure that the LTE modem was working, like actually looking at it. Not like looking at the modem, but looking at the machine. It's really minimal. I probably could have not done anything.
So the question was, what are you doing in those 3 hours? Just to repeat.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that was the question, was what are you doing in the 3 hours?
Q and A. Feel free to talk to the speaker after the talk. Thank you very much. Another round of applause for the speaker, please.
Thank you.